Chapter 40. They were in Lionheart for a week, as the Golem had anticipated. The ship was allowed to approach and dock, and soon after that, robots were swarming all over it, attending to the damage and preparing it for the return journey home. "We never had a name for it," Geoffrey said, "since it obviously isn't the ship you left in."
"Call it Summer Queen, if you like," Eunice told them.
Since the repairs and refueling were entirely automated processes, there was nothing Geoffrey and Jemai needed to do but wait until their ride was ready. They had been given the option of re-entering hibernation early, but both had decided against that. Neither wished to go to sleep until the ship was already on its way, putting distance between itself and the asteroid. Geoffrey couldn't speak for Jemai, but he had no difficulty analysing his own reluctance. He simply didn't have unquestioning confidence in Eunice or in the Artelect emulating her. It had already proven fallible, and for all that it articulated regret and sadness about Hector's death, and even Memphis's, he had no reason to suppose that those utterances carried the slightest emotional weight. It was making placating noises, but behind them, as Jemai had already pointed out, was just stuff. Machinery. And while machinery might ponder a set of actions that had led to a less than desirable outcome and adjust its future behavior accordingly, it was a stretch to call that remorse. Lionheart had been equipped to care for human visitors, and that was where they spent the week while Summer Queen, that name was as good as any, was overhauled. There was a suite of rooms and modules, a recreation complex, a gymnasium, and a couple of centrifuges. One large enough to contain a commons and dining area, enough to keep a team of technical staff comfortable for months. They chose separate rooms and adjusted the furnishings accordingly to suit their preferences. There was entertainment, incoming transmissions, not full org, but enough to keep them up to date on developments elsewhere in the system, and they had the means to send and receive private communications. There was a limit to what Geoffrey was willing to discuss until he was face to face with his sister. But he told Sunday that they were both safe and would be returning home as soon as the ship was cleared for departure. Allowing for the preparations and the 50-odd days of journey time it would take to reach near-Earth space, they would be back in 2 months. "We'll be difficult to miss," he said. Then he called Lucas and gave him the news about Hector. 10 hours later, return transmissions arrived from Sunday and Lucas. Neither of them had a lot to say, simply expressing relief that Geoffrey and Jemai were alive and would soon be on their way home. Lucas thanked Geoffrey for the news about his brother, but beyond that, he was implacable, as if he wasn't entirely ready to take the news at face value. Even Sunday had appeared reticent to comment on it. She was in Africa, Geoffrey learned. After returning from Mars, she had travelled to the household to keep an eye on his elephants. Not just chinging, but physically there, in body and mind. He was grateful. And when he considered that by being in Africa, she was necessarily neglecting her own life back on the moon, her work and commissions, his gratitude became boundless. But Geoffrey and Jemai were coming back now, and Sunday didn't need to spend all that time waiting on Earth. He asked her to promise him that she would return to the moon before his arrival. Later, when Jemai and Geoffrey were dining in the centrifuge, being waited on by Plexus machines, she said, "They're not sure we're us. That's why they're holding back, I think. That and the fact that we're obviously holding back something as well. Can you blame them? We've been duped and manipulated by Artelects. Sunday's been cheated by the Pans. Right now, no one knows who or what to trust. For all they know, we might be dead by now." Geoffrey agreed. The fact that they couldn't give a plausible account of what happened on Lionheart wasn't helping their case either. It would be better when they got home and he could talk properly, not just with Sunday and Jitendra, but with Lucas as well. There was no escaping that. Lucas would have to be told about Lionheart.
"That's not really true," Jemai said delicately. "Hector never got to find out why Eunice wanted us here."
"So you're saying that because he was never let in on the secret, I don't have to share it with Lucas?"
"I'm saying you don't owe him anything. You didn't drag Hector into this. It was the other way around. Later, you saved his neck."
"Didn't do him any good, did it? I just postponed it."
"If Hector hadn't died, it would probably have been one of us. So consider that score settled. Did you hate him at the end? Jeffrey had to search himself for the honest answer. The automatic reply was to say that no, he had forgiven Hector everything. But the reality was more complicated than that. We saw things differently, he said, fingering the stem of his wine glass. I believe that there are absolutes, rights and wrongs, lines in the sand, moral certainties. I think Hector was wrong to go about things the way he did. He and Lucas shouldn't have blackmailed me. They shouldn't have used the elephants as a bargaining chip. And they shouldn't have put the family name above all other considerations. He smiled at himself. But I understand some of the cousins' fears now, more so than I ever have. I thought we might end up uncovering something, but I had no idea it was going to be this momentous. And Eunice was right. It is dangerous. And this knowledge shouldn't be shared until we're absolutely sure it won't rip humanity apart. Maybe we are ready for it, and maybe we're not. Just yet. Either way, we know about it, you and me, and soon Sunday and Lucas. That means it's already out there in a small way. And maybe Eunice was right about that, but wrong about something else. That it'll take an enormous amount of luck for someone to go from Summer Queen to the physics behind the star drive. If she's wrong about that, then the gene is already out of the bottle. He paused and gazed at the wine still in the glass. Which means Hector and Lucas were right to be cautious, right to be concerned about something from the past upsetting the present. They couldn't have known how potentially damaging it was all going to turn out to be, but their instincts were right. And if their instincts were right, then maybe their methods were as well. Maybe the means do sometimes justify the ends. He emptied the glass and waited for Jemai to pour him another measure from the bottle, which was a satisfying Patagonian red, shipped up from the inner system in 2129, if the label was to be believed. The year of his birth, not that he attached any significance to that. So they were wrong, Jemai said, but maybe they were right as well. And that line in the sand might not be as simple as it looks. I didn't hate Hector, Jeffrey replied. I used to. I won't pretend that I didn't. But not near the end. I can't say I ever got close to liking him. But when all's said and done, he was your cousin. And he did do one brave thing. Jemai raised her own glass. To Hector, in that case. To Hector. Although Lucas will always be a prick. One we have to work with, unfortunately, Jeffrey said. He sipped the wine, placed the glass down and continued with his meal for a few mouthfuls. Although it's Sunday that worries me. I don't see Sunday as the problem in this situation, especially as she already knows 90% of the story. It's the Artelect, Jeffrey said. Remember what Eunice told us about how Memphis's entire mission in life was undermined by the rock diagrams. That's how it's going to be with Sunday. She's spent years creating the Eunice construct, and now I'm going to have to tell her it's all been a wasted effort. That there's a simulation of Eunice in Lionheart that's at least as believable as the one she's created. How's she going to take that?
She won't have to.
It was not Jemai that had spoken, but the golem. It had arrived unbidden and was standing in the doorway to the kitchen area. What do you want? Jeffrey asked, considering its uninvited arrival a violation of their privacy.
Sunday need never know about me. You haven't mentioned me in your transmissions home. I'd know if you had, and... Well, you couldn't have, shall we say.
Because you'd have doctored our messages? Jemai asked.
Better that than have the authorities know the Artelect law was breached, Eunice said. Things may have relaxed in recent years, but you can never be too careful. No, the world doesn't need to know about me, and neither does Sunday.
I'm not going to lie to my sister if she asks a direct question, Jeffrey said.
Tell her that Lionheart was being run by machines and that the machines had a figurehead. There is no lie in any of that.
He shook his head. You'll still exist.
No, I won't.
The golem moved to their table, drew out a chair for itself and sat down.
I had a function, a very limited and specific one, which was to be here for you. I've done that now, and there's no further reason for my existence. You know what you need to know. If you return to Lionheart, the other machines will take care of your needs. They are fully capable of running the experiment should you wish to see it reactivated. And I, for my part, will cease to exist. The routines emulating me will be erased. There will still be an Artelect, but it won't have a human face or my memories. It won't even remember being me.
That's suicide, Jemai said.
It would only be suicide if I had ever lived.
Eunice hesitated.
Might I ask one indulgence, though? Summer Queen will be made ready, regardless of what happens to me, so it would make no practical difference to you if I ended myself now. I'd rather not, though. Not while there's still the possibility of conversation.
We can't mean anything to you, Jeffrey said. You didn't even exist before we arrived. You said so yourself.
That's true.
Eunice looked at her hands resting on the edge of the table.
I was only actualized the moment when you proved your identity in the airlock. Before that, I was a potential in the Artelect, a set of dormant routines.
So you shouldn't have experienced anything before you were actualized, Jemai said.
I shouldn't have, and I can't say I did. But those years of waiting...
She frowned as if examining some puzzle or conundrum that refused to make sense.
I felt them. Each and every second. And when you came, when human voices returned to this place, I was glad. And I still am. And I do not welcome that which must be done.
Then her frown softened, and she produced a sad and defiant smile.
I'm not asking the world, am I? Just a little conversation and companionship before you go.
In that moment, he thought he could forgive her everything.
Of course, Jeffrey said.